It's the motherfucking Millennial Miha podcast.
Welcome back to the Millennial Miha podcast. This is take two because, you know, the Anne just, you know, has like a chicken without her head running around, and I forgot to press record. So we're back for a second time, and I am here with two very special people who are representing El Arcoiris, which is a legacy and a restaurant in Northeast LA. That was originally opened in 1964 by their grandparents in Highland Park on York Boulevard. And if you grew up in Northeast LA, then I'm sure that you've been to that restaurant with your family, because it's a favorite of generations of families in this area, and I'm sure all over LA. My dad growing up was my tour guide of this city, and he was the person that took me around and introduced me to every. So me and my dad would go low riding after we would go cruising on Sundays when he would pick me up. And we would go to like an NA meeting, probably in Lincoln Heights. And then we would always go to lunch, and it always ended up being at Arcoiris. And this place has such special memories for me. And so recently when I was on, we were all very sad when it closed in 2017. And so recently I was on Instagram, and the gods guided me to a post, and I just see a picture of Armando's special, and I was like, it can't be. There's no way, because I had already made peace with the fact that I was not gonna get this food again.
Yeah.
And you know, years ago. And then so to see that, I was like, no way. And then it said El Arco Lincoln Heights, and I'm like, wait a minute, it can't be. So I click on it, and there you guys are. So it was it even gives me chills right now, because it was a really special moment to see that, you know, as someone who, you know, because our neighborhood in Northeast LA is changing so much, and there's not a lot of it that is intact as it once was, that is kind of like those memories exist in those places. And then once those places are gone, we still have the memories, but it's different, you know? And so I want to say welcome to Elisa and Gus, who are here, part of the legacy of El Arcoiris, and they're going to talk about that legacy and share it with us, and also tell us about their family and what it was like growing up in the restaurant. So welcome, Elisa. Welcome, Gus.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Talk to me about what it was like growing up in the restaurant.
So, I mean, we spent our entire life, basically, in that restaurant, or our childhood for sure. Gus, most of his life. And I mean, we did everything, every role in the restaurant, cooking, hostess, bussing tables,
dishwashing,
just everything you can imagine. We did it. Our mom worked there. She started working there when she was 7 years old.
Yeah, it opened in 1964, right?
Yeah.
By your grandparents, Irene and Gus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, just so many memories for us, like just the biggest part of our childhood. The cooking, that's how our mom cooked at home mostly. So if we weren't eating that in the restaurant, we were eating that at home.
That was like a playground for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or it could be detention for us. If we were in trouble, it would be sit down at this table and you're going to stay here all night until mom would get off of work.
Yeah. My mom... For me, she fired me like every weekend. I got fired.
Oh, yeah.
Did we she fire
oh, we
you?
Fired everyone. We fired people.
We would fire people.
Old,
yeah.
We would fire people. We would tell them, you're fired.
So was it only family working there most of the time, or did you guys also have other staff that came in as...
Family came and went, but it was other staff. And the other staff, they were there for as long as I remember.
For years and years. Decades.
And some of them even babysat us. And, you know, it was always like this family environment.
I think the coolest part about the new the new reopening is that you have the same cook.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, it's funny because he started with us when I was 5 years old.
Wow.
He was 18 years old as a dishwasher. And he washed dishes for maybe 4 or 5 years. And then eventually got his shot to start chopping vegetables and prepping, and then work the line where you serve the food, and then eventually, okay, now you're gonna learn how to saute. So it took him years to finally get it down.
What's his name?
Chef Juan Montoya.
Chiles.
AKA Chiles.
Chiles.
Shout out Chiles.
Yeah, shout out Chiles. He's the man. He works so hard.
And is he from this area too?
Yeah, he's from from down right down the street. Highland Park, right?
I think
Yeah, Highland Park.
But I have to say though, although it's awesome to have Chiles and he's great and his food is great. He makes the recipes true to how they were in the original spot. But the best thing is having the same customers.
Yeah.
That, I mean, we see best people prices. Come in and I'm going to cry. But they cry, you know?
Yeah. Oh, God. Here we go.
I know. Here we go. No, I thought it would take a little longer, but.
It's really, I know, me too. It's really, no, it really is emotional because there's something about food and memories that are like, you can't take.
It just takes you back. Like you literally you travel in time and you go back to, you know, things that only happen once, people that aren't here anymore, just so many things that centers around a plate of food. And I think like that is honestly my favorite part of being in this restaurant and having my brother have it open again. To see so many people that like knew our mom and have great memories of her. And
was your mom Angie?
No.
Her
Josie.
Okay.
My mom was Josie and
our mom passed years ago.
In 94.
Oh.
Yeah. But and, so now like people still know who our mom is. You know. Yeah. There's enchiladas named after her, the Josie enchiladas, which are spicy green enchiladas. So it's just really cool to see people, and you know, people cry, people laugh, people send messages, like hundreds of messages.
So
like,
happy.
Thank like, you so much. People. God bless you. And you know, then you hear the stories. Like for example, you and your father, right? You guys would always go there. I would always make fun of her dad because he would go with one of his buddies. I say, oh, you guys are on a date.
Yeah.
You know.
My tío Kiko, yeah. They were always together.
Yeah, they were totally cool.
And just,
But it was awesome, you know, like that. That's just priceless because you meet super cool people. And then we're gone. And then all of a sudden we're back and you still see these people.
Talk to me about the process of going from, so you're closed. I mean, had you also come to terms with the fact like this is part of chapter in my life is closed? And then how did you get to let's reopen it?
Yeah, so I left before the restaurant closed to just, you know, working with family is very difficult. You don't always see eye to eye. So at some point I decided to go a different path. And that path led me to, I don't know if it's my true calling. I don't know what it is, but it put me in a position that I could decide like, hey, I'm finally going to do my dream by opening the restaurant. And it's kind of like the stars aligned. So I started this whiskey business. I sell high-end liquor all over the country. And one day Chef Chiles calls me out of nowhere. Hey, I have this restaurant in Lincoln Heights. Let's take a look. I'm like, okay, when do you want to see it? Tomorrow. So I'm thinking he's not going to show up. Like it's too early.
And
it's not going to happen.
Done that with other locations
multiple times.
How long had you been searching for a place at this point?
Seven years.
By the time you found it?
Yeah, seven years. Like off and on. Like I never had the capital to do it. So like we would get an investor and the investor would say, hey, let's open a restaurant. We'll give you $100,000. And then me and Chef Juan would go look for a space. We would find the space, tell the investor, all right, cool. Time to sign the lease and write a check. And then the investor would say, oh, nah, I changed my mind. So that happened like 5 times. So then the last time it happened, I was like, screw this, I'm done. Like, it's not going to happen. So fast forward, I started doing my own thing. Juan calls me out of nowhere. We end up meeting the next day. 30 minutes after looking at the space, I'm signing documents to buy it. I go home and I tell my wife, hey, guess what? We're opening Arcoides again.
Yeah.
And she's like, no way, you're insane. You're too busy. And I'm like, no, it'll be easy. Like I always say, it'll be easy. And yes, right away, we started the remodel and getting everything ready. And yeah, it was just amazing because the support has been phenomenal.
It's like when you told me that story when I first came in, it's like my mom told me that when something's for you, there'll be no obstacles.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, you don't have to work for it because it was already yours.
Yeah, it was.
So the fact that you walk in 30 minutes later, you're signing papers, it's like, oh, no, there's something divine about that. The timing, the location.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was, if it wasn't going to be in Highland Park, I feel like this is
yeah.
the next
place. The next place. Yeah. Well, it's funny because it's also, like, kind of meant to be because my grandparents actually grew up in Lincoln Heights. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so like they're from this community. And then if you think about it too, like the first original location that they had was a tiny, tiny place, kind of like the place that we got. And little by little, they went expanding it. And I've already expanded it also. So I kind of feel like I'm following in the right footsteps, you know, which is amazing, you know. And more than anything, like I never opened this business to say, hey, I'm going to become rich owning a restaurant, because that's not what happens. Like, you open a restaurant, you know, you're going to work your ass off, you're going to burn yourself, cut yourself, and it's going to be stressful. But more than anything, like, the reward is, like, the gratitude and the satisfaction when you see, like, all these guests from years come back, and they're just so happy.
Yeah.
Like, that, like, you can't put a price on that, which is super cool.
Yeah. How do you imagine that your grandparents feel about the reopening?
So my grandma actually has been into the restaurant. My grandfather unfortunately passed away years ago. But my grandma's just so proud of me.
Because your grandma's still here.
Yeah, my grandma's still here. And she's gone to the restaurant.
How
old is she? Oh, she's 91 years old.
That's very good.
Yeah, but my grandma, you know, my grandma's gone in. The first day she went in, she cried and was like, God bless you, mijo. Thank you for keeping this legacy going.
Yeah.
You finally did it.
And, you know, it's something crazy, too, because we grew up in the restaurant. We grew up, like, it was day and night, the restaurant for us, even as kids. You kind of take things for granted. And maybe we did, because when it was gone, it was gone. And then reopening to see the impact that we have, like, That's when I know, like, my grandparents left us a legacy that has gone on for generations and generations, because people from all over the country come visit us.
Yeah.
And, like, people will show up and be like, hey, I'm in town from Arizona. If I don't take 15 chile verde burritos back home, they will strangle me. You know what I mean? And you're like, damn, that's so cool. That our food means this much to people.
Yeah, it's not just food.
Yeah.
And talk to me about the menu, because I know the menu is it's unique and it's special. But talk to me about it.
So our menu is humongous. It's so hard to have so many delicious ingredients or dishes like on there, but we want to accommodate everybody. You know, especially like our true loyal customers from back in the day. So it's super long, because we don't want someone to come in, be like, oh my God, you guys are open and we don't have the Armando special on the menu. Like, imagine the letdown. It would be like heartbreaking. Uh-huh. So we have everything. It's all my grandmother's recipes.
From where in Mexico? Because I was reading some article.
So my grandmother's from Querétaro, which is like 3 hours south of Mexico City. And my grandfather's from Jalpan, which is kind of in the forest.
To
yeah, like
Querétaro too, right?
Like the mountain in the area. So they met, then they, you know, they got married, eventually migrated over here with how many aunts and like I think there's like seven siblings,
and then a cousin too. So I think it was like 10 of them altogether. 10 of them
moved down here little by little. And just started working super hard. Yeah. Two bedroom.
10 people.
Wow.
But yeah, but some of these, you know, our dishes, I think some of our dishes are just the best. Like our chile verde, I don't think any chile verde stands up against ours. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm biased. Our chile colorado is really good.
The Armandos.
When you name them, is it because like you had a relative named Armando and that was his
name?
Our uncle.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, mm-hmm. So all the names are named after family members.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is super cool.
Talk to me about how many memories you have of, or your most memorable moments from growing up in the restaurant.
So I think for me, a lot of my memories are just like based about around my mom, you know, because when she passed, she was still working in the restaurant. She literally worked there her whole life. So, and she worked so much when we were kids. So a lot of the time we spent with her was in the restaurant. Seeing her, the way she treated customers, you know, there's some people that work in restaurants that will treat you differently based on how much money you spend or how you tip. But my mom always taught us to treat everyone the same, and she really like lived to that. And any customer that I meet, like, they always have great things to say about her. And so just for me, it's like more about my mom and obviously the food. Like, when I heard that the restaurant was closing, like, I never came to terms with that. Like, the way that you did, I was always, like, heartbroken and could not get over it. And I really thought that I was, like, the only one that felt that way.
Oops. How did the restaurant closing change your personal direction, or did it?
So I had already left the restaurant when it was going to close. Like, I went off to start my own career and stuff. But it just always felt like a place that would always be there.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a huge weight. Yes.
Yeah. And so for me, I just felt like I was like losing my childhood. Like, it was just like, where is it going? Like, it's gone now, you know. And it wasn't until he reopened and I started seeing like reviews on Yelp or people commenting on Instagram and stuff that I actually realized I'm not the only one that feels like this. Like, yeah, everyone feels this way, you know? And that was really special to see that, you know, because it's I really don't think it's just a restaurant. Like, I met my husband working in the restaurant. I forgot we can like pause.
Yeah, we met your husband at the restaurant. Tell us that story.
So I had left. I had been out of the restaurant for like almost 10 years. And my Aunt Angie calls me. And I had been laid off from my job. And they were like,
by the way, my dad had the biggest crush on your Aunt Angie.
Did he?
Yes. She would sit them down. And then he would be like, mija, tell her to give me a hickey.
Wow.
Like, a hickey, dad. Wow. Like, you are old.
That is so funny. But anyway, so she calls me and she's like, hey, I know that in October, like, your job is ending. So I wanted to see if you would come in and cover me as manager while I go and have a bunion surgery.
Oh.
Yeah. And I was like, weird, but okay, yeah, sure. You know, how long do you need me? And she's like, oh, it should be 2 weeks. I'm like, okay, yeah, no big deal. I'll go in. I mean, I haven't worked in the restaurant forever, but like, it's like in our blood, you know? So I get there and right away I, you know, I meet everyone. I'm the manager, and I just instantly had this connection with Vidal, my husband, but as friends.
What, he was coming in?
He worked there.
Oh,
he was a server there. He had worked there for like
a while.
8 years probably at that point. And then my aunt's bunion surgery ended up like, it like went wrong and she had to have it again. And
yeah,
there was all these complications.
So you had to be there longer.
For like 6 months.
And you got to know Vidal.
And we started off as friends. Like, he would tell me everything about his dates and everything. And yeah, we're married 10 years and have 3 kids now. And when I first told Gus, actually, he's probably going to get mad at me right now. But when I first told Gus that I was dating Vidal, he was like, no, you're not. No way. When pigs fly.
Oh, yeah. I got upset.
They've been flying for like 10 years now, yeah. Pigs.
But you know what? He's a great guy. But no, for real.
To the wedding. Fast forward to the wedding.
Yeah.
But
I mean, my mom met our dad there, like so many of my aunts met their husbands there. Yeah. So
I kind of met Ruth
through the restaurant. His wife.
Through a different restaurant that my cousin has. She went there to work I think she worked like 2 days. And then my cousin found out that she was working like at another Mexican restaurant and was like, if you don't quit here, like you have to quit one of these places. And she's now. She's like, peace.
Ultimatum.
And then 6 months later, me and her ended up going on a date. And then that was that.
Aww.
We and went that on was one like, date. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
10 years ago also.
Yeah.
Because we both were
all around the same
at the
time.
Same
yeah.
time.
We went on one date and that was it.
Love to hear it. Love the love stories. Talk to me about the importance of small business to the community, because you know, because with our the landscape of Northeast LA changing so much, you know, we've seen it completely transform.
Yeah.
Especially if they, you know, like just it just looks completely different. So talk to me about the importance of small business staying in that area.
Yeah, so
in this area.
So I actually moved to Mexico 2 years ago. And we just spent this last month working in the restaurant with Gus, and it's been really like the first time in 2 years post-COVID, you know, that we're here and seeing how different everything is.
I'm
and
jarring.
It's crazy. Like I'm still in shock every time I have to pay for something, which is why I've been eating at the restaurant for free every day, by the way.
You can't eat anywhere for under
$20
anymore.
No, it's crazy. But seeing how like the economic climate has just drastically changed so much, you know, it's really hard for small businesses to survive in this environment. But being here and allowing people to, you know, have jobs where they can work, you know, we have some people at the restaurant that are professionals and, you know, have full-time jobs, but picked up a couple shifts to make extra money, you know. So that, I think, helps the business because obviously they need employees, but also it gives people in the community an opportunity to earn extra money when times are like really different right now.
Yeah.
It's also cool to have small businesses in the community because then it feels like that family environment, you know, when you see somebody you've known them for so many years, you've known their kids. So yeah. You know, when you're at work, you don't feel like you're at work, you feel like
yeah.
you're at your second home.
Yeah,
you know. Which is great because no one wants to feel like they're at work.
I think the thing about belonging, like the concept of it, it's so important to be known.
Yeah.
For maybe not details or anything, but to see the same people,
yeah.
to feel part of a community. And so you just don't get that everywhere.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that's the beauty of the small business. But talk to me about at the OG location, when you first started to notice gentrification show up to Highland Park.
Well, I mean, it was pretty clear once the bar the York showed up,
yeah.
that everything was changing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think before it was a Little Dragon.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was a Little Dragon. And, you know, all of a sudden here comes the York and then...
All these restaurants with,
yeah,
like,
just,
dining on the sidewalk. And I don't
yeah.
remember.
When
I never
grew
ate
up,
at any
when
of
we
them.
We grew up in Highland Park. When we grew up in Highland Park, you know, you couldn't walk down the street. At a certain time,
yeah.
you know, our neighbors were always getting in trouble and there were
mm-hmm.
drive-bys and getting jumped. And, you know, we noticed all that growing up. And now to see it where you see people walking down New York Boulevard at 2 a.m. with
their
a little
dogs.
Poodle. Yeah, with a little poodle.
Yeah,
it's like, what? Are you trying to die? You know?
It's not the same neighborhood anymore.
It's
and
not.
That, it's going to be, I was Optic doing something, and then there's like these, I remember it was Kitchen Mouse. That was one of
yeah.
the first places, and I remember being like, dun, dun, dun. And then being like, seeing kids and stuff, and then thinking like, it's going to mean such a different thing in 10 years to say I grew up in Highland Park than it
yeah.
did.
Oh yeah.
For kids.
Oh, yeah.
It means a completely different thing. And it's so I talk a lot about gentrification on my podcast because I like to like keep it at the forefront of the conversation
mm-hmm.
because I feel like if we don't talk about it then it kind of just what has happened is that it's like it's kind of the silent acceptance, like, oh well, things are just this way. But that's why I want to spotlight local businesses, and that's why I want to like tell and archive these stories. Because once the places, the physical places are gone, what's left is the memories, and what's
yeah.
left is the stories that we still have to tell. That's how we preserve it. And that you open a new physical location that now, you know, serves as
yeah.
a place for these memories to kind of congregate you know, and to still stay alive.
Right.
And that to me is really important. So did you anticipate, or were you like, oh, our customers are going to be so happy, or were you guys surprised at the reaction?
I think it was going to be weird that we're in Lincoln Heights. I didn't know how our clients were going to take that. Maybe like, oh, it's too far, or it's not safe in Lincoln Heights, which hasn't been the issue, you know. But yeah, it was kind of scary not knowing what was going to happen. Because I know if I would have opened on York Boulevard, it would have been a grand slam.
Yeah.
But here it's been great too. I can't complain. You know, we're new. We're old, but we're new, and it's going good. A lot of restaurants that open, you know, they have a problem of trying to get people in the doors. We have a problem on how do we serve so many people that come in, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like our weekends are crazy busy. Like, they're just packed, which is great. People from all over come. So yeah, it's been pretty awesome.
I don't think you realize really like the magnitude of the impact that the restaurant had. Like, we didn't know that, you know. We felt it, and we thought it was just us because it's our family, like that's where we grew up, you know. But like I said earlier,
yeah,
like so many people felt that. So the excitement that we felt, everyone was feeling that, and that's really been, I think, what sets the restaurant apart is all that history,
that
you know.
Love.
Yeah.
There's so much love that surrounds this legacy, and it's really beautiful to be able to have you here to share it with everyone, kind of behind the scenes, because I know a lot of people who grew up in Northeast LA do listen to my podcast, but you can see something and not know the story behind
it. Yeah.
You know, and it's really
yeah.
special to highlight that for me. Talk to me, because what my podcast mostly is motivation and encouragement, and I want to be a place where people can come and rest but also find motivation.
Mm-hmm.
And so talk about the leap of doing something like opening a business in a time like this where it's you know, a different climate, and talk about the bravery and the courage that it takes to follow through with restarting your dream.
So I'm going to take this one because he's giving me the eye of, I don't know what to say. But also, I think, like, as his big sister and knowing his story better than, you know, maybe everyone with the exception of his wife, this guy, I'm going to cry again, but, you know, he hasn't had it easy. And he has worked really, really hard. So I think to see someone like him that, you know, kind of had all the cards stacked against him, work so hard and not give up, and be at a point now where, like, it's gonna pay off, you know? I think it just shows that, like, really, if he can do it, and he can stay focused and grind and grind and grind and ignore people that are against him and come out on top. Like, that's motivation for anyone to just, if you have a dream, just stick with it and don't give up, because good things happen to good people. And I think that's what happened for him.
Yeah. Gus, talk to me about some
Thank
of the
you.
Fears. Yeah, that was a moment. Give your sister a hug.
Yeah, that was nice.
He's like, I'll give her a tap on the back and a taco later.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Always food.
But talk to me about some of the fears that come up when, like, as a business owner, and how you deal with those fears.
You know, luckily, I'm just a burro, but I don't really get, I don't let it affect me.
Fear? Never heard of it.
No, it's just like, you know, luckily, like my sister says, I've worked really hard to get to this stage. Like, the hardest part's done. Like, everything from here on out is easy. So, like, I don't have fear, because I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, because everything has lined up from, you know, from years going you know, years without talking to the chef, from him calling me one day to the next day signing the building, from the new tenants, the new landlords being super cool and saying, you know what, we're going to give you 5 months free rent because, you know, we like you and we want you here. And if you want the building, if you want the space next door, it's yours and we're going to help you. And, you know, so many people behind us, there's nothing to be afraid of. Like, you shouldn't be afraid of anything. And I'm not, you know, because I know what we do it out of love.
Yeah.
And, you know, I a lot of people don't believe this, but I didn't open this for money. I did it because I have my other job that does good. I did this for out of passion.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, as long as we break even, I'm happy with that. But obviously, we're doing well, you know, but yeah, there's no fear at all.
Yeah. The customer base, honestly, and I mean the support from people and people just coming in, and I'm glad it was you that opened and telling him that and telling me, I'm so glad it was your brother. He deserves this. He works so hard. Like, it really feels like it's not just one person operating a business on their own. You know, it's this whole movement, like this community that supports him and that has supported my family for decades.
Yeah, we're,
you know,
super lucky.
It's really special.
They love us, you know.
Do, and it's not because I'm just a restaurant and you're a keeper of memories and you're a piece of the community. That's you can't create that again.
Yeah.
To have it back is a treasure, and I'm really glad that you guys came and that you shared your story with me. And it's really inspiring, Gus, to hear about your fearlessness in the face of what many people look at as this like really tough mountain to climb. You know, opening a business to some people seems impossible. And even though they might have these desires or these, you know, secret goals that I would love to own a restaurant one day.
Right.
And so what would you say to those people?
Just do it. Just don't think about it. Just do it. Just, you know, that's all you can do. Thinking about it's not going to help. Like, you just have to chip away, like, one step at a time. And yeah, just don't back down.
Yeah.
It's like with everything in life, right? If you have a problem, you got to find the solution. So think of this as a problem. You know, I have this problem. I want to open up my own restaurant. How do I do it? You know, and that's what you got to do.
I appreciate it. I thank you so much for coming. Thank you for, how can we find you on Instagram? And also, how can we support? Also, is the restaurant open for community events? How are you planning on using it in that way, or are you?
Oh, 100%. So pretty soon we're going to do an art show, but we would kind of like to do stuff like that. And then in the back, we have a huge patio. So we wanted to do kind of like a little swamp meet style, like where we have
with
a couple of vendors.
Podcast, the Millennium
We
Have
podcast.
That would be dope. Yeah. That would be awesome. So we're thinking of ways on how to kind of make it more community based also, right? Where like we do some things with the boys' home that's across the street. So yeah, we would just love to kind of, you know, find some new stuff to do.
You're open to collaboration.
Yeah. For sure.
So for anyone listening, how do they contact you? What's the best way? Through Instagram?
So on Instagram, we are at El Arco Lincoln Heights. What else? Instagram?
That's
the best way. Yeah.
Did you have one more thing you wanted to share with us?
Yeah. So we have patio seating in the back where we do private parties. We recently expanded, so there's a separate room that can be used for private events. And then we also do large catering orders too. So if you're having like a holiday party at your home or office, like we're available for that. We deliver. Again, with our goal of like making the event like work to your needs. So we have a lot of different options and we'd be glad to be part of those events too.
Awesome.
Sounds good. The moment that I came and I got to experience the food again, it just like pure joy and pure, I teared up too, and I was like, is this weird?
Yeah. Like it feels weird, but then it's like it feels
just
so good.
It's just food, but it's so just not food.
It's not.
Again, thank you so much for reopening. Thank you for being a part of this community and for, again, preserving all of our memories and preserving your legacy. So thank you for being here on the Millennium We Have podcast, and I will see you all again soon.
Thank you. Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you.
Hello? It's the Motherfucking Millennial Mija Podcast.